Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them from the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and a humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying after me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, and hath given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people, being penitent, the absolution and remission of their sins. He pardoneth and absolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore, let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
O Lord, open thou our lips.
Amen.
To the Son and to the Holy Ghost.
A reading from the book of Job, chapter 28. Job said, "Surely there is a mine for silver and a place for gold to be refined. Iron is taken out of the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Miners put an end to darkness and search out to the farthest bound the ore in gloom and deep darkness. They open shafts in a valley away from human habitation. They are forgotten by travellers. They sway suspended, remote from people. As for the earth, out of it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the place of sapphires, and its dust contains gold. That path no bird of prey knows, and the falcon's eye has not seen it. The proud wild animals have not trodden it. The lion has not passed over it. They put their hand to the flinty rock and overturn mountains by the roots. They cut out channels in the rocks, and their eyes see every precious thing. The sources of the rivers they probe, hidden things they bring to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is a place of understanding? Mortals do not know the way to it, and it is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, 'It is not in me,' and the sea says, 'It is not with me.' It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed out at its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, or in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. The chrysolite of Ethiopia cannot compare with it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and death say, 'We have heard a rumor of it with our ears.' God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave to the wind its weight and apportioned out the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and searched it out. And he said to humankind, 'Truly, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.'" Here endeth the first lesson.
Thank you.
reading from the letter to the Hebrews. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, "It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named after you." He considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings for the future on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his burial. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth, because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. Here endeth the second lesson.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
O Lord, show thy mercy upon us,
and grant us thy salvation. And make thy chosen people joyful.
O Lord, save thy people.
And bless thine inheritance.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
Because there is none other that fighteth for us, but only
of Jesus Christ, our Saviour.
Amen.
Lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night. For the love of thy only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
The choir anthem this evening, Jesus, Lord, we look to thee. The words are by Charles Wesley, who was an English leader of the Methodist movement and a prolific hymn writer. The music is by Tim Knight, who was born in North Allerton and is a composer and an arranger of choral, instrumental, orchestral and organ music, as well as being the director of three Yorkshire choirs. He also set up the Whitkirk Deanery Choir in 2009 and was its first director of music. Jesus, Lord, we look to thee.
I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let's get things straight. We all know that there's two different kinds of people, those from Yorkshire and those who wish they were. And who could deny that there is something special about this county? We even have our own particular dialects and even our own language. For example, summat's up here, translation, there's something strange about this. Gerrit etten, translation, eat up all your food. Gerrit etten, see? Yeah. You all use it at home, obviously. Gerrit etten, Melvin. And alongside language, there is, of course, a certain humility born in Yorkshire. As the saying goes, nobody is perfect, but if you're from Yorkshire, you're pretty close. So today we celebrate this county where we live, thinking especially of our native composers in this evensong. And our service has, of course, been preceded with the sound of bells. It's been great to hear them. And bell ringers, of course, too, have their own dialect. And perhaps today you've heard about stays and clappers, ropes. And perhaps most interestingly, though it wasn't on the board at the back, I was rather disappointed, garter holes. Perhaps that's something you want to know about a bit later. Like most things in life, we like to have a unique language that in some way only we know, be it Yorkshire accents, dialects, or bell ringing. In a sense, it's inevitable. The language we use forms part of our identity, part of being a member of the club. And the life of the church is just the same. Come to church and learn a whole lot of other words, from repentance and absolution to consecration and blessing. The difference is perhaps the intention of these words, for the language we use here is given to help us contemplate the eternal, to find words to speak of the things of God. And while some would say that a trip up Swaledale or taking in the view from Wernside, places of beauty in our beloved county, or all being in sync to chime in time, both hint of the beauty and harmony of heaven, the language we use in church is more deliberate. And if taken seriously, if prayed and considered, draws us to contemplate the mystery of God, to help us answer Job's question, where shall wisdom be found? In that book of Job in the Old Testament, we find someone who memorably writes of trying to make sense of why we are here. In the verses before us, he writes of miners who put an end to darkness and search out ore. He goes on to say how they put their hand to the flinty rock and overturn mountains by the roots, and that their eyes see every precious thing. But it doesn't answer his question, where shall wisdom be found? A wisdom he recognizes as being priceless, that it is above pearls and cannot be valued in pure gold. And at the conclusion of the chapter, Job discovers that the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. In some ways, it seems such a strange word to use, fear, when we think of God, a God who is described elsewhere as being love. That sits much more comfortably. But that is because we overemphasize one definition of the word fear. We think of fear as solely being about being frightened, as in we are afraid of spiders or the dark or people from Lancashire. But if you dig a little deeper, there is another shade to the meaning. For fear in this context, I think, seems closer to what Job is describing, fear can also mean reverence. So when Job writes of fearing God, it might, of course, be about knee-knocking fear, but it might also be about revering God. And if we are to read reverence, then we step into another lot of meanings, awe, wonder, praise, and so on. So perhaps here Job invites us to see that sense of fear being a reverence for God, something I want to come back to after pausing to look at our New Testament reading. For as we consider Job's question of where wisdom is to be found, then our answer must embrace the person of Jesus Christ. And as the writer to the Hebrews came to understand, it is in and through him that, by faith, he understands the story of Israel. Through the words, by faith, the writer is connecting the dots, seeing how the God who is at work in Isaac, in Jacob, in Joseph, and in Moses was at work in Jesus. And if we stop here and think of our own story for a moment, we too can recognize that it is by faith that we too connect the dots and see God at work in all our lives, weaving together our experiences that make us who we are. Of course, some might say, how can that possibly be true? How could God be interested in me? Surely life is all coincidence, random, filled with good or bad luck and chance. And if we are honest, life does seem like that sometimes. But by faith, we discover how all those wrong turns we can all make can be redeemed and can be learned from, how even from grief and sadness, though painful, new life emerges. So by faith, we see and think of our life differently as we ponder how the God who is utterly beyond us is also intimate and weaved into our daily experience of life, making something more out of us, helping us to dream and imagine and hope. Of course, we should also be cautious here. There should be a provisionality and care about this. It can be too easy to think that God is our mate, who unsurprisingly, perhaps, does what we think God should do. But though there should be caution, we all give thanks, I think, I hope, for how God has been and is at work in our lives. So to return to Job, where shall wisdom be found? Well, for me, living into Job's discovery that the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, is part of living by faith. For this fear is more than just being afraid, it is a kind of holy fear that also expresses a sense of reverence, of awe, and of wonder that the God of all cares about me, cares about you. Job learned that wisdom is not found in gold and precious jewels, but in the heart, a heart made to contemplate and grow in love for the heart of everything we name as God. And therefore, to live by faith is to strive to recognize the transforming presence of the divine in the midst of our daily lives, in the ordinary and in the exciting, both those things that happen to us within the bounds of this county, and yes, even in those who live beyond it, even in Lancashire. So there you have it. Yorkshire, bells, and the fear of the Lord. Right, Lenore, it's time for me to sit down and stop mithering. Happy Yorkshire Day.
In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this time to be in your presence, to praise you through music and word. We hold before you all those who cannot worship you in freedom. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Creator God, we give thanks for this celebration of Yorkshire Day, for the diversity of our county, for all the ways in which we see your creative hand at work, for the coastline and dales, for our towns and cities. We pray for all those who call this county home, and for all those who visit for holidays or work. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Almighty God, who has given us the joy and responsibility of sounding your welcome from our towers, grant that faith, love, and devotion may be awakened in all who hear the bells this day. We give thanks for those who upkeep the tower and bells, for all those who over the years have sounded the bell and responded to its call to prayer. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Gracious God, you give us much more than we could measure or even deserve. We give thanks for our friends, our family and neighbours. Remembering those from whom we are separated from at this time. May your love overflow into the hearts of all your people. We pray for all those who have entered into this church today, those who are regular attendees, those who came for baptism, parents and godparents and grandparents, and for all those who have visited throughout this afternoon. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Healing God, we pray for all those who are troubled in mind, faint of spirit, or weak in flesh. We pray for all from this church family and for anyone who is on our heart this evening. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. As the night watch looks for the morning, so do we look for you, O Lord. Be with us through the quiet hours of this night, so that we might wake afresh, ready to serve you, ready to proclaim the gospel, ready to walk in your ways. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.